Hello, and welcome to our Cover Crops for You, a Midwest Cover Crops Council podcast where we interview farmers and specialists about solving problems on the farm and how cover crops can be a part of those solutions. I'm your host, Anna Morrow, and this is our first episode. Today I interview Mike Buis. Mike is an Ontario farmer who raises cattle, field crops, and large-scale vegetables. In this episode, Mike explains how cover crops helped him reduce stored feed needs for his cattle herd, as well as keeping his soils fit for commercial vegetable harvest, even when conditions are unfavorable.
So I'm located just outside of Chatham in Ontario, and we had an interesting problem that we needed to solve. We were in some very valuable cash crop ground, and we had beef cows. So we couldn't afford to have a lot of pasture to pasture these cows all summer in the traditional manner. So we decided we would make use of some cover crops and some crop residue to raise our cows. So we over the years, we've developed a system of cash cropping followed by cover crops in between, and then grazing those over the winter months, bringing the cows back out and dry lotting them for the summer while we grew our crops again, putting cover crops back in, and then doing the whole thing all over again. So it's worked out to be a very efficient way to raise beef cows in some what otherwise would be very valuable vegetable ground that would sit idle for the winter, and now we can make our ground work for us all year round. We tried a number of different crops and combinations to get to where we are today. We've been doing this for about 14 years. So we started out very simple with oats planted into wheat stubble. And now we've over the years of experimenting and trial and error, now we've come around to the spot where we're dropping cover crops into standing corn when it's less than a foot tall at the 5 to 6 leaf stage, dropping cover crops into there and letting that grow all season. When we harvest our grain corn, the cover crops there and established, and we can graze that almost right away. What that's done is corn stover traditionally will give us 1 acre of corn stover will give us enough grazing for one cow for 4 weeks. If we add a cover crop to that, we've gained an extra 2 weeks of grazing on that acre. So now we're grazing 1 acre of corn stalks with the cover crops, we're getting 6 weeks of grazing per cow per acre. So that has really helped our feeding supply. So we're to the point now where we've got our system worked out, so most years we don't need to add a lot, if any at all, winter feed to the cows from November, basically from November right on through till May when we pull them back out. So it's working. It's a system that's working really well. Yes, we do have failures. Things don't work. It's trial and error, and every year is not the same. So we need to have a what I call a plan B feed supply, because if we have an open winter or we have a cold winter, we have too much moisture, not enough moisture, any number of factors that can affect how much feed we'll have in the fields. And if we depend on that 100%, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. So we need to have a supply of feed to back up in case we don't have the winters or the seasons we anticipate. But most years, if things go reasonably right, we can gain a lot of feed off of the cover crops. So the cover crops in the winter are providing feed for our livestock. And the great thing about that is we don't have to harvest any of that feed. We don't have to haul it to the cows. We don't have to haul the manure back out. We don't have to look after the cows. They're out in the fields. They're doing their own thing, scrounging whatever they can find. And actually, they're holding or gaining body condition score on these feeds. They're doing quite well out in the fields. The other benefits are all the benefits we have that we started growing cover crops for in the first place, was to build our soil, to protect our soil from wind and water erosion. We still have all those benefits in place, plus the value of the feed for the cows.
So some farmers might be hesitant to graze cropland. What's your perspective on that, if cover crops help, you know, alleviate some of those issues with compaction with
the
cattle?
Right, and we've started actually grazing some of our neighbor's land. which is new. So he's traditionally just cash crop, and now we're running these cows out on his field. So he too had concerns about what we're going to do to the soil with the cows. So a number of things are happening. Because we have the cover crops, because we're building soil structure over the years, we've got a good base for the cows to walk on. So they're walking on the cover crops. They're not walking on the dirt, as first, for example. And also, the way the cow's hoof is shaped, it's not like a horse. It doesn't pack it down. It has toes that actually cut in. So it does very little, if any, soil compaction at all. And we'll actually run cows all through the wet fall and the wet spring on some of our heavy clay grounds without seeing any yield disadvantage at all. On a number of our sandy loam soils, we actually no-till right behind the cows. So we're literally pulling the cows off the field as the planter's pulling into the field to plant the crop. So we're not seeing the damage that you might think. For example, if we take a tractor out to the field to feed a bale of hay to the cows in the wintertime or in the spring, we'll be able to tell where we drove that tractor, because we'll see the compaction from that tractor in those muddy times, where we won't see any sign that the cows have been out there.
Okay.
So it's worked out really well.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure and point out that you do have mud up in Canada, because I know southern Indiana, that's something we struggle with, you know, pasture management, is that muddy times.
Right. Yeah. I guess our rainfall is in that 30 to 40 inches a year is kind of what we expect for rainfall. So yes, we do see a fair bit of mud in the fall and springtime, March, April, it can be really wet at times. So yeah. We do deal with a fair bit of mud.
And with that cover crop, it's not something that you're particularly concerned about.
Right. Yes. The cover crop protects the soil at the same time. And it also, it acts as a sponge, right? So it soaks up that extra water and holds it so that when we do come in to crop it, we've got a good base of good quality soil that's active and works great. Sometimes people ask me about snow and they'll say, well, where you are, you don't see any snow. Yes, we do get snow and we do graze quite successfully through it. That's where our plan B feed supply comes. If we do have a few days or a week here and there that we have a lot of snow that we can't get out to graze, we will supplement feed those cows if there's too much snow. For the most part, the cows know their feed's under the snow and they know how to get it. So there, it's just another day out on the farm. And we do, most of our fields have windbreaks around the outside. We've done that for erosion on our sandy soils. And if we don't have windbreaks, we'll put rows of bales of straw or whatever just to break the wind. And the cows are quite content outside all winter long. They do quite well.
And when do you calve?
So we'll calve about 220 cows in in April and May. And then we'll calve another 75 in October, November. So we have two calving seasons where we're taking all our cows, right, our calves right through to retail, so we needed a year-round supply.
I know you do a little bit of vegetable farming. Is there any issues that you've found there that cover crops have been a good fix for?
So the great thing about vegetables is a number of the crops are shorter season generally. A lot of times they're either planted early or harvested early, so we do have some, that gains us some extra windows that we wouldn't have just growing corn and beans. So we have those nice extra windows where we can get different cover crops in and different amounts of growth of cover crops. So that's worked well in our system as well.
What about that heavy wheel traffic with the vegetable harvest?
So that's been a real issue, because the vegetables have to be harvested when they're ready to harvest, and that's rain or shine, and it's big equipment and it's a lot of compaction. We're finding that the cover crops and our system of no-till or minimum till over the years has helped us build the soil, and it actually holds that traffic up a lot better. We're not seeing the cutting in, the rutting that we see on our neighbors' fields at the same time of year. So it's actually giving us a better base for that heavy equipment to go through the field and harvest when it's not the ideal time by the soil conditions to be in, but we have to be in there to harvest because of the crops we're growing.
Any other comments about your farm? Pretty well covered it.
Pretty well covered it, yes.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's been nice talking to you.
Okay, yep.
Thanks for joining me on the first podcast from Our Cover Crops for You from the Midwest Cover Crops Council. I'd really like to thank Mike Buis for his time interviewing today, telling us about how cover crops have helped moderate some of the impacts of vegetable crop production on his soil, as well as providing some winter feed for his cattle. Join me next time when I talk with Naeem Kalwar from North Dakota. We'll discuss the role of cover crops in helping eliminate some problems of salinity in the soil, as well as that age-old question of just how much does tillage impact soil temperature in the spring. Thanks, and I'll talk to you later.